Fan in New York City. Tommy Lou Gower, Lugie. It is After Hours here on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Last summer, there was a huge hype train for Jackson Dart. And Jackson Dart lived up to that hype. And the hype for Jackson Dart is even bigger this year with the pairing now of John Harbaugh as his head coach. We're seeing a similar thing in Jet camp now with their rookie quarterback. To the point where, because I was the one sitting last summer, right around this time period, I took a, part of this was just to, it was, it worked out well, but part of this was to annoy Tiki. But because if you could annoy Tiki, really, you've made it in this business. And I created a sign that said, Start Dart. Took a piece of paper, a little marker, and put it on my chest, right? And I wore that until day and night in the shower the whole time. And until Jackson Dart was named the starter. Because Russell Wilson stinks. He's washed. It was a useless signing by the Giants. Never should have been here. Jameis Winston was already here with the Giants, signed a few days earlier. The idea of bringing in Russell Wilson and making him the week one starter, to me, made absolutely zero sense. And I believe that Jackson Dart had the pedigree, had the ability, had the maturity, had everything, skill set, to be the day one starter for the Giants. And oh, by the way, I was right. Fast forward a year later, and I think Jet fans want the same type of situation with Cade Klubnik, where they see Geno Smith and they go, Geno's washed. He's horrible. He is largely responsible for the Raiders having the number one overall pick. He is no longer good. We don't, you know, he had the moments in Seattle. We remember Geno for his bad play with the Jets. We don't want to see him. Backup, fine. That's, you know, veteran leadership, cool. But the guy we want starting week one and beyond is Cade Klubnik. Just like we, you know, just like I was sitting there last year saying, start Dart. Now, nothing really rhymes with Cade or Klubnik as far as starting him in week one. So I don't feel like there's going to be a campaign from that perspective with a catchphrase. But I hate to do this, but I got to pour cold water on it. Cade Klubnik stinks. And the sooner you realize that, the sooner you can move on from it. I get it. Young quarterback. You want to find Mr. Right. The Jets fan base is, in fact, cursed. You know, Joe Beningo's a clock. Evan Roberts is a candle. You've been waiting years for somebody to come by and break the spell. And one of these years, a young quarterback will walk through the castle doors and break the spell. It just won't be Cade Klubnik. I don't think he's very good. In fact, I think he stinks. The Jets don't. They traded up for him. And the amount of hype that this guy has gotten, like I said, it reminds me very much of Jackson Dart last year, except Jackson Dart was the goods and did deliver. I don't think Cade Klubnik will. I don't. I watched him a lot at Clemson. He's not good. He's not good. And the hype that has surrounded him here in training camp is just outrageous. I was fully supportive of Jackson Dart starting in week one. I'm not with Klubnik. Now, eventually you got to get him out there so that you could see for yourself that he's not any good, and then you can move on. But this entire Jet season, and there's been a lot of Jet optimism. And listen, the Jets have won 11 Super Bowls in the month of July. There's a lot of Jet fans, Jet content creators, Jet fan personalities in our business that are going through the turnstiles, I like to say. Meaning, they sort of swear off the Jets at the end of the year, and then every summer they hype themselves up to be like, well, this is our year. This is going to be the Jets' year. They're going to show all this progress. Now, it sounds like I'm being very negative, because I am, but there is positive in the negativity of the Jets. And I do think Aaron Glenn, it's more likely that he's fired by week six than it is the Jets win six games. Next year, meaning this draft upcoming, is going to have a very deep, very rich quarterback class. The Jets have several picks in the first round. The Jets are going to be awful. They're going to win three or four games. They are going to have an opportunity to select one of those quarterbacks. I'm a huge Arch Manning guy, and I know Arch Manning early in the year stunk. Okay, well, it's a full season, last time I checked. And down the stretch, probably in his last 5 to 7 games, Arch Manning was terrific. I love Trinidad Chambliss. And I don't think he... So, this idea, because this was the sort of narrative that... And it's going to exist once we go around to the draft. But this idea that Dante Moore and Trinidad Chambliss, they saw the Jets sitting there and they said, I'm good. I'm going to go back to college. Well, a couple things. Number one, have you seen the Oregon cheerleaders? They're always a one seed. Same thing with Ole Miss. Also, you get paid in college now. At least we know about it. You know what I mean? These guys are making big money. They can go... I mean, Arch Manning could probably make like 10 mil in Austin and hang around in Austin where it's fun. But like speaking just with Chambliss and Dante Moore, I think you go back to college, you make a bunch of money, and then you go into the draft. Like, I get it. Like, it's probably fun to be at college, fun to be the quarterback of a huge university, and you're making money. Big money. Endorsements, the whole deal. So I can understand why they'd want to go back to college, make some scratch, and then try their luck at the pros. But I think Trinidad Chambliss, what I saw throughout really the season, but also in that college football playoff, to me, he made NFL-type plays with his legs, with his arm. I think Arch Manning is the goods, the real deal. And yeah, his last name is Manning. It's not Smith. I understand that. If it was Lou Gower, he wouldn't be getting the publicity he gets. That it helps to be a Manning. But it also hurts him in a sense that there's going to be a lot of pressure on him. But I think he'll be able to deliver because his uncles, especially Eli, were able to handle that pressure and thrive under that pressure. But those are just two guys. There's a litany of quarterbacks that are coming out in this draft. And I think the Jets are going to finally find their guy, their Mr. Right. The person that can break the spell, that could turn Joe Beningo from the clock back into the human form of Joe Beningo. Evan Roberts from a candle back to the human form of Evan Roberts. Although when you look at Evan, he's probably better looking as a candle, but still, they will be freed from this spell. A fireman adds a teacup or whatever. I forget all the other characters in Beauty and the Beast, so you're only going to get three examples there. But the amount of optimism that surrounded the Jets this year is just, I don't see it. I saw enough of Cade Klubnik in college to know he's not any good. The Jets traded up for him, which is, quite frankly, I think a misstep. And people are trying to push him to the front of the line, kind of like I did last year with Dart. And you do need to see Klubnik this year. Absolutely. And we will. Probably pretty quick. Like, my prediction is that by week 6 or 7, Glenn is fired, Geno is benched, Frank Reich's the coach, Klubnik's the quarterback. And this is nothing against Frank Reich or Cade Klubnik, although I am, I guess, in a sense, criticizing them. But I'm saying it because I think that next year they're going to draft a quarterback and they're going to hire a head coach. Now, you're going to hear Mike Tomlin's name a lot. I've thrown this name out there a bunch. I'll throw it out there again. If the Vikings have a bad year, Kevin O'Connell is going to be fired. And quite frankly, he should. Because getting rid of, and even if it wasn't totally on him, the idea that you get rid of Sam Darnold and he wins a Super Bowl for the likes of J.J. McCarthy, and now, I'm sorry, Kyler Murray is not the answer. And I know O'Connell's kind of been a quarterback whisperer. Good luck. You're not turning Kyler Murray into a guy that's going to the playoffs. At least from my vantage point, you're not. And I think he would be a very interesting name. There's already been sort of rumors and rumblings that they wanted to bring John Gruden into the organization. I think his is a name to look out for the Jets. But I ask yourself that, seriously, because there's anybody that's feeling the hype and thinking the Jets are going to be good, just sit down and really come back down to earth and say, okay, what is more likely, 6 wins or Aaron Glenn getting fired by week 6? It's a coach-quarterback league, and the Jets don't have a quarterback. I don't think they have a quarterback, and they have the worst head coach in the league. But you got to slow down on the Klubnik train. I don't think he's going to be the answer. I don't think he's going to be a good pro. He had an awful final year at Clemson. He's Mr. Right now. He's not Mr. Right. Mr. Right's waiting for you at the draft. And the Jets have positioned themselves, and that's a credit to Muji. Like, he has done a really good job of positioning the chess pieces on the board to set the Jets up for success. And I've used the Knicks as an example time and time again. All you heard for years were the Knicks will never win a championship as long as James Dolan owns the Knicks. Well, it wasn't a dream. The Knicks did, in fact, win the championship this year. And in fact, James Dolan still owns the team. So the Jets can win the Super Bowl with Woody Johnson as the owner. But, and it's a big one, it's not, and it's with one T, not two T's like a J-Lo butt. It's one butt, or one T in the butt. You have to hire your Leon Rose, and maybe that is Muji, and you have to find your Jalen Brunson. I don't think K. Klubnik is Jalen Brunson. Then again, I didn't think Jalen Brunson was Jalen Brunson, but I'm pretty confident in the K. Klubnik one, though. Nobody thought Jalen Brunson was Jalen Brunson, but I was a detractor, I'll admit. But I can buy and sell Jet positivity 3, 4, 5 years from now. Yes, I think you're just jumping the gun on it. I think you're jumping the gun on it because it is a coach quarterback league, and the Jets are just, I think, severely lacking at both. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Adam joins us from Westfield here on After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan. What's going on, Adam?
Tommy, good morning, good night. I don't know what 4 o'clock in the morning is, but hello.
Yeah, I guess for me, because I'm off in about 45 minutes, this is more like good night for you, Adam. If you're just starting your morning, it is more like good morning.
Good morning. I agree and disagree. I think the biggest difference is that Jackson Dart was a first rounder and Kate Klubnik was a fourth rounder. It feels like the hype is almost out of necessity.
Yes.
Because we as Jets fans know that it's not Geno and that we don't have the quarterback. So, like, I think it's almost less hype and more of, like, let's just find out because we have no other choice because we're in this purgatory.
Yeah, you want to find out right away. But here's the thing. You're going to find out soon enough because I don't see a pathway, especially if the Jets lose week one and Bobby Sala's pumping his fist out in Nashville. The three games following that are extremely difficult. You could be looking at an 0-4 start, and Aaron Glenn would be on the hottest of hot seats. Frank Reich they literally hired his replacement in the offseason, at least for an interim perspective. And people are going to be screaming and yelling for Klubnik, and Glenn will go to Klubnik if he feels like his job and basically his coaching life is on the line with the Jets. So you're going to see Klubnik, I think, by week 5 or 6 anyway.
Yeah, I think 5 and 6 feels early. Look, Glenn's not making it through the first half of the season.
No.
Said it.
No.
The first 5 weeks are tough. At best, they're 2-3, 2-4, at best. So you're probably right. But also, like, Kate Klubnik just might not be that good, like you said. So I think the Frank Reich thing scares me for a whole slew of different reasons. But you're probably right.
You mean as an offensive coordinator? You're saying him as the OC scares you?
He hasn't been an offensive coordinator since 2017.
Yeah. Yeah, I will say this, though. He's walking in, you know, what Frank Reich is walking into a situation, though. The fact that you are following Justin Fields is a great place to be. Because at least who doesn't matter who the quarterback is, whoever is sitting there under center will be able to throw the ball forwards. And that is an upgrade over last year. So the offense, no matter what, is going to look better than it did last year. And that's at least a small improvement. But yeah, long term, we're going to find out ultimately if it was the right hire.
I'd argue the defense has to be better than last year because it was so historically bad.
Correct.
And the defense is still going to be the biggest problem with the team this year. So yeah, look, this you said it. And of all the years to have the draft picks, you want the ones where there's 5 or 6 quarterbacks that are going to go in the first.
Yes, absolutely. Pick. Yeah, no, the Jets are in an advantageous position here. And that's a credit to them for trading away young players that are still young in their prime but to, in order to say, hey, you know what? We tried it with Rodgers. We went all in. We crapped out at the table. Now we're going to reset. We're going to trade all these players. And we kept a couple, you know, Wilson and Hall. But still, we are going to build this team from the ground floor up. But the missing piece is the on the field is the quarterback and then the head coach. Because I don't know. I don't see it with Glenn. I think we are agreement here. He's going to be fired by the middle of the year.
Yep, agreed. And you know what? The Colts might just be pretty bad, too, and the Jets may end up with two decent picks this year. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate the call, Adam. I absolutely could see the Jets, call me crazy on this, I could see the Jets being where the Knicks are now. I could. And not just sunshine and rainbows. I could. Because a lot of the things that I hear from the optimistic Jet fan in July and now into August, a lot of that stuff is true. The offensive line and Garrett Wilson and Kenyon Sadiq and Taylor and Hall. And, I mean, the deep. I'll give you this one. The Jets will have a pick six in week one. No interceptions last year. They'll have a pick six in week one. And it's funny. Week one is such an, if you are somebody that either picks games or gambles on games, the game against Tennessee in week one is so fascinating because, just in general too, everything points to Bobby Saleh, the Titans, who spent a lot of money in the offseason, Cam Ward, who played really good football at the end of last year, obviously the number one pick last year. Everything points to a Jet disaster. Geno stinks. Aaron Glenn is staring off into space. And Saleh has his moment. And we see the Robert Saleh, 49er version of him, pumping his fist for the Titans in Nashville. So everything points to that. When I think of that stuff in sports, I go the other way or try to go the other way. The problem is when you go the other way with the Jets, you run into a locomotive. You go the other way and you get run over by a bus, basically. So it is the irresistible force meets the immovable object. Last year, accurately, and Evan gave me grief for this, but I ended up being right, week one against Rodgers and the Steelers, I said that was going to be the Jets Super Bowl. And it ended up being their Super Bowl. It was the best game they played all year. It was the best game Justin Fields played all year. It was the Jets Super Bowl. I don't know if I feel that way going into week one this year, but I could see the Jets giving a spirited effort in week one. Spirited effort. They got to win that game. I know that sounds crazy. It's week one, but I don't know if Aaron Glenn's going to have a lot of games here to play with. I mean, he used a lot of his leeway there in year one. And then you're staring at Packers. You're staring at Lions in Detroit. And the Bears in Chicago. That's easily 0-4. I know, I don't want to pull a Francesca and dog. Win, loss. But, okay, is Geno Smith and Aaron Glenn going on the road to Detroit and Chicago and winning games? Is the phone number to call. It is after hours. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the late night here on The Fan. Let's go to Juan. He joins us from upstate. What's going on, Juan?
What's going on, brother? I just wanted your thoughts on what if we end up getting the number one pick, Arch Manning's the number one potential pick, and Archie steps in like in 04 with Eli, blocking him going to San Diego. What would be your thoughts on that?
If that ends up playing out the way you played it out, that is going to be a major topic of conversation. Now, I do not have any inside info, but I don't subscribe to the idea that the Mannings, in particular Arch, are going to be, and I know, bad franchises ruin young quarterbacks. They do, but at the same time, if you're going to go number one overall, you're probably going to a team that stinks, right? There's a reason they're the number one overall pick. Now, I know there's stinks, and then there's 10 feet of crap, and then there's the Jets, but still, you have to, at some point, think that somebody would say, you know what, I'm going to be the guy to turn that franchise around. I do think Arch is going to have a big year with Texas. I think he's going to build off of the, and they have a lot, they have a tough schedule, they have a lot of tough road games. I don't think it's going to be all pitcher perfect in Austin. But the way Manning played at the end of last year, I think he will carry that over into this year. And he will be the number one overall pick. The beauty of this is if for some reason, and I don't subscribe to it, and I don't necessarily want to hear it throughout the year, meaning if you do call me up with it, I probably will fight you on it. I think Arch Manning could say, hey, you know what? I have the last name Manning. I'm going to be my own man. I want to separate from my famous uncles, from my famous grandfather. What better way than to go to the Jets, finish over 500, go to the playoffs, win a Super Bowl. Then you will forever be your own man. You won't be Eli Manning's nephew or Peyton Manning's nephew or the other Manning. Or, hey, he's the Manning that is fast, right? He's a fast quarterback. But if it does play that out that way, Juan, the good thing is that it is a very deep quarterback class. You do have Dante Moore. You do have Chambliss. You do have Carr from Notre Dame. There's a bunch of guys that are, and players that, listen, Jaden Daniels came out of nowhere, won a Heisman, and took the world by storm in his first year with Washington. So it's easy to just sit here in August and say, well, this quarterback, and that quarterback. There are going to be, I mean, Mendoza. Nobody in August had him as the number one overall pick. So a lot can change. But I'm not in the camp that Arch Manning is going to tell the Jets to go scratch and he's going to want no part of New York. Remember, the Mannings wanted to come to New York over San Diego. I understand the Giants and Jets, there's a difference, but still, it is New York. And I've said this, ask Boomer, what did more for his career, post-career, being a Jet or being a Bengal? 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer. It is a Lugie in the late night here on The Fan. We'll continue to take your calls, really whatever on your mind, Jets, Giants, Yankees, Mets. We'll mix in some Giants talk into the conversation, including Abdul Carter and what he needs to do in his second year for the Giants. The phone number to reach the show is 888-808-1019. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the late night here on The Fan. 4:30 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is After Hours here on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Two quick Yankee points before we get back to those calls at 888-808-1019. George Lombard Jr. is the real deal in every facet of the game. Defensively, wizard. Offensively, already with a couple of big home runs. And perhaps most importantly, the maturity and leadership, which is beyond the years of George Lombard Jr. You know, there was a story that came out over the weekend that Lombard on Saturday after the game in the cafeteria was quizzing his teammates about the next day starting pitcher for the Braves. George Lombard Jr. has been here for less than a week. And yet here he is showing the initiative, showing the leadership qualities that you love to see, especially from that position. And that's why I think he's the real deal. He has it. Like, some players just have an aura about him. They just have a swagger about him. And for Lombard, it's more of that quiet, cool, calm aura. But really across the board, defensively, offensively, leadership-wise, somebody that clearly eats, sleeps, and breathes baseball. He's like, he's not thinking about Saturday night, or he's not thinking about Sunday morning or anything else going on or what he's eating at the cafeteria. George Lombard Jr. was quizzing his teammates about the next day's starting pitcher. He's the real deal, Lombard. The real deal in all facets of the game. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. The Yankees have a Jazz Chisholm problem. They have a Jazz Chisholm problem, I mean, to say the least. And look, the lineup is not hitting. And something, though, I think needs drastically to be done. And I understand that Austin Wells can't hit at all either. But I would move Jazz Chisholm down to the ninth spot in the order. I mean, at some point, the idea that you didn't trade for Luis Arraez because you wanted Jazz Chisholm to be your second baseman, and that was somehow a roadblock to acquire Luis Arraez, who would have been a perfect fit for the Yankees, and now you have to literally sink with or swim with Jazz Chisholm for the rest of the year. You got to do something. And you did it the other night. You pinch hit for him, and then he put a T-shirt on, which was no big deal. I mean, and Grisham put a T-shirt on, too. So I've never seen that before. It was kind of odd, but still, I didn't. Kind of like a lollipop, a T-shirt, whatever. But something has to be done with Jazz. And you're at a point now where I wouldn't move Garcia to second base because I don't think he's going to be very strong defensively there. You're stuck now with Jazz Chisholm. But he's not producing. You can't keep him right around the middle of the order. You got to drop Jazz down in the order. I would drop him all the way down to ninth. I would. Even though Austin Wells has kind of manned that ninth spot in the lineup, and he has also been atrocious, Jazz Chisholm, to me, he's the ninth hitter until he earns his way out of that spot. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night. You know, speaking of the Yankee, the Chris Sale thing was incredible. It really was. The idea that he was still mad on Sunday about something that happened on Saturday and got thrown out of Sunday's game, even though he's not even in the game on Sunday, before it even started, is really a commitment to being angry and being pissed off. You know, most people say, don't go to bed angry. Why don't you sleep on it? Why don't you get over it? And not Chris Sale. Chris Sale's the kind of guy where if you piss him off, you tick him off on Saturday, he's still going to give you the business on Sunday. He's still going to let you know about it. That's a guy you don't want to be on his bad side. I'm not necessarily a baseball historian, meaning, like, if you want to recount things that have happened in sports, right, you listen to WFAN between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. because Sean could tell you about a tackle that Felipe Sparks had in 1997 on a third down in week 6. And Evan could tell you Pokey Reese's OPS in, you know, 1996. I could barely tell you what happened 3 weeks ago. So I could be wrong on this, but I don't ever remember that happening where somebody was thrown out of a game before it started. It was like Friday. How are you going to get fired on your day off? Just the game had not begun. Chris Sale wasn't even involved in it because obviously he was the starting pitcher the day before, and he got thrown out of the game before it started. That feels like baseball history to me. And even if it's not, we're going to make it our own baseball history here on After Hours as it exists in its own ecosystem. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Morristown, New Jersey. Larry joins us. What's up, Larry?
Morning. Hey. How are you today?
Good. What's happening?
Well, that Chris Sale example, he's quite an example for the young people who play baseball. He really should be fined by the league.
Why so? What do you mean? Why should he be fined?
Why should he be fined?
Why is he a bad example?
Kind of
what do you mean, kind of example?
What kind of example is that for the youth of America?
Who cares? So what? It's a big deal. Oh, get lost. Let's stop. Get off the high horse. It's not a big deal. He got thrown out of a game. He's passionate. He felt like he was wrong the day before, and he was upset about it. Guys managers and players get tossed all the time. Are they bad examples for the youth of America?
But this was particularly bad. This was from the day before when he was wrong.
Yeah, he was still pissed off.
The replay showed he
balled. He felt like he was in the right.
Okay, let's go to Anthony Volpe and the Yankees. The Yankees should
be
ashamed.
Hold on, Larry. You wrote on the screen it says Jets-Giants, and so far you haven't gotten either one of those. So is that inaccurate that you want to talk about those things, or are you just
I want to talk about the Jets and Giants.
Is there anything else we could do for you, Uncle Lewis? How many topics are we covering here?
Well, you want to talk about the Jets and Giants?
Oh, I don't care. I mean, I figured that was the first thing on your mind. What do you want to talk about Anthony Volpe's in the minors? He's irrelevant.
He's not irrelevant.
He's irrelevant. He's not going to. I think he's done with the Yankees. I think we've seen the last of him.
I don't think so.
Okay. What do you think he's going to be? You think he's going to be the starting second baseman next year?
Well, hold on a second.
You think he's
going to
be the second? You think he's going to be the second baseman next year, Anthony Volpe?
I don't know what he's going to be.
Well, he's not going to be a starting pitcher, so there's only so many places he can be, so it's either second base or he's not going to be on the team.
Well, he might be a good second baseman. He's got to go and learn the position because he's never played it, but he's a terrific talent, and he's just been he was not treated properly. He should have been taken to the hospital as soon as he was injured last year.
She was playing hurt. I agree with that. And they ruined his swing in a lot of ways. And he wasn't done any favors by the Yankees, that's for sure. But
that's true.
That's why I think he needs a change of scenery. I think he's better off going somewhere else and developing into either a second baseman or a utility player, but not here in New York.
But let's talk about the Jets and the Giants.
Okay, why don't you do it?
The Giants are going to be the ringer this year. They have a great coach mm-hmm. who knows how to motivate people. He's got some talent, and I think they're going to really surprise a lot of people.
Well, here's the thing, though.
I'm a Giant fan since the mid-50s.
Right, but the thing is, Larry, I understand. You've seen it all. But Larry, my thing is, I don't know if they're going to surprise people because a lot of people are very high on the Giants this year. The expectation for the Giants, including their over-under number, which is 7.5, but no matter where you turn, it's the Giants are winning 10 games, including yours truly. Giants are winning 9 games. Giants are winning 8 games. Giants are going to the playoffs. So I don't think they would be a surprise. The expectation for this team by a lot of people and a lot of the fans are, this is a playoff team. This is a team that's going to win 8, 9, 10 games. So I don't think it would be much of a surprise.
I think it's going to be a big surprise after the way they played the last couple
of years.
Well,
but the way they played, but they weren't, John Harbaugh wasn't the head coach. So it's irrelevant.
That's right. John Harbaugh is the difference.
Right, of course he is. It's but people are expecting that, so they wouldn't be surprised by it.
Well, I think they'll be surprised if the Jets are good.
That would be a huge surprise.
I think it would be a huge surprise.
If the Jets are good, you're saying. Yeah, that would be a huge surprise.
Yes. The coach is a very nice guy.
No doubt.
He's got a good resume,
yes.
But he just doesn't have it with this group.
Nope.
Just doesn't.
Nope.
It's too bad.
I don't know if it's too bad because I think it's one of those things where the Jets, what's best for them is to get their quarterback. And I think they'll get their quarterback in this upcoming draft. But yeah, Giants being good and making the playoffs would not be a surprise. If the Jets win 6 games, 7 games, that would be a stunner. Stunner. Think about, because if you're somebody that thinks they're going to win 6 or 7 games, a lot, just in general in the NFL, but a lot would have to go right for them. Including the Aaron Glenn we saw last year's head coach would have to, leaps and bounds would have to be better as a head coach this year. And I just think the quarterback room's not very good. It's a coach, head coach, quarterback league, and the Jets are not good at either. They're not in good standing on either. So to win 6 or 7 games with that combination would be quite remarkable. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Jeff joins us here on After Hours. He's calling from Fairview. What's up, Jeff?
What's up, Logie?
Hey, what's happening?
I just want you to be aware that Klubnik had a bad ankle all season last year, and he played through it.
Well, he did play through it, but he didn't play well.
Yeah, well, he had a bad ankle.
Okay, well, I mean, he had a bad ankle, but he still played. He was still on the field, and when you're on the field, it's excuses to me. That sounds like an excuse.
All right. Okay, Jets have very good special teams.
Yes, they do.
Do you agree on that?
We do, yes.
Okay. The offense is going to be better with Frank Reich.
Yeah, Frank Reich, the offense will be, well, just listen, it was so bad last year because you didn't have a quarterback. Justin Fields couldn't throw the ball forward. So now you have even Klubnik that I don't think is very good, and even Geno, if he's like halfway between Raider and Seattle, Geno, he'll at least be able to throw the ball forwards.
Right, and we got tight ends, we got wide receivers,
yes,
we got running backs.
You have tight ends, wide receivers, and running backs, which is huge. I mean, that gives you a leg up over most teams in the NFL.
Okay, that's two good things.
I think we're up to four, but yeah, let's go to five. Or three? Three. Third thing is what?
All right.
Yeah.
Don't make me laugh.
Well, that's why I'm here. I mean, I would think, I'm certainly, I mean, if you ask the internet, I'm not here for my sports knowledge, so I'm probably here to make somebody laugh, so don't worry, it's okay. Yeah. Now, what's the fifth thing? What do you got?
The Jet defense, you're going to stop the run. They have, like, loaded with defensive
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, listen, the Jet defense... The idea that they can't be worse. Okay, here's where they can't be worse. There is, I will say this, I feel as confident as anything I've ever said on this radio station. There is no way the Jets do not have an interception this year. No way. They will absolutely 1,000% have an interception. So based on that, they will be better than they were last year.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know how good Aaron Glenn is with the X's and O's.
Well, he's not very good at all. I mean, he's not very good at all, but maybe he was just playing a little bit of cat and mouse last year, and then the real Aaron Glenn as head coach, and maybe just a year of experience. But he has got to take such a leap to get this team to even 5 or 6 wins, and we're going to find out soon, because that first 4 game, that stretch there, Titans, you got Bears, you got Packers, you got Lions, that is a rough 4-game stretch to kick off the year.
Yeah, but the Packers are beatable. We're home on that game.
I will say this. Love is very much up and down. There's no doubt about it. And Parsons going to be out for that game. They are beatable. They're beatable. So you think the Jets are going to be 2-2? It sounds like 2-2 for me. It sounds like from you after 4 games.
Yes, I do.
That would be there would be Jet fans having them in the playoffs if they went 2-2, because that would be a terrific start to the season. I don't see it going that way. I think it's more likely 1-3 is best case.
I know, but after those 4 games, the schedule softens up a little bit.
Well, it softens up a little bit in the sense that you do have the Browns. There are people that think the Patriots are going to take a step backwards, but even if they do, I mean, the Jets would have to take a couple steps forwards just to meet them, considering the Patriots were in the Super Bowl and the Jets were kind of in the toilet bowl. And then the Dolphins, who always own the Jets, for sure, and there'll be a million Dolphin fans in that game. But you're right, Raiders. But then you had Chiefs, Bills, Chargers, and we could sit there and talk about the entire schedule and bore everybody to death. But the point is, the first 4 games are not going to be easy. And if the Jets get off to... Look, let's put it this way. This is the best way to put it. Well, I think I put it the best way, but here's an even better way to put it, which I guess if you say it the best, how could it be better? But you know what I mean. It's 4.5 hours into a 5-hour show. What do you want from me? The Browns game. If Aaron Glenn loses to the Browns on October 11th, he's getting fired. That's the game. That's at home. Let's say they even are 1-4 in their first 4 games. Certainly if they're 0-4. And they lose to Cleveland, that's it. It's a wrap. Frank Reich will be the head coach. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer. It is Lugie here in the late night. We'll wrap up with the final segment. We'll go over some of the things that I haven't been able to get to and take a call or two at 888-808-1019. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the late night here on The Fan. 450 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is After Hours, the final segment of After Hours here on this 5-hour, a little Big Lugowski, 5-hour overnight After Hours. The warm-up show with Al and Gordon Damer come your way in just about 10 minutes. Let's do a fan focus, shall we? I, for one, want Bo Bichette to opt into his contract. And I think he's going to opt in. I mean, he's going to get $42 million from the Mets. In all likelihood, he's not going to get that on the open market. But to me, Bo Bichette falls into that same category as guys that have had a track record come to the Mets and struggled early on. Now, guys like Robbie Alomar, Mo Vaughn, Jason Bay, they never made it out alive, so to speak. But guys like Piazza, Lindor, Soto, Beltran, they went on to have great Hall of Fame careers and continue those great Hall of Fame careers. And obviously, Lindor and Soto are still going. Bo Bichette, to me, is a guy that I think ultimately will become one of the more loved players or beloved players on this Met team because of the reasons why they loved him in Toronto. The clutch hitting, the hustle, the machine at the plate, you know, doubles, RBIs, a guy that was always clutch in the big moments. And I think you're going to have a good, to not if not great, final couple months here for Bo Bichette in 26. And I think Bo Bichette in his second year with the Mets is going to have a monster season. So and his defense has been better than advertised. So I'm all in favor of Bo Bichette opting in to his contract, sticking around with the Mets, and I believe he will. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Now, as far as Odell Beckham Jr., this is something that I have been really kind of going through as far as my feels and my emotions over the last, couple days, because there is a part of me that thinks that Odell can still be a guy that can have an impact on the Giants this year. And it's not just, well, we brought back Odell. It's so great that he's in a Giant uniform and he's on the field with Malik Nabers. And no, I think Odell could not only have a moment, and look, week one, Sunday night football against the Cowboys. Does that sound familiar? And I'm not saying Odell Beckham is going to be that player, because that would be just, I think that's shooting way too high for the stars there. But could Beckham be the 500, 600 yard receiver as far as yard? Yeah, a couple touchdowns. That would be, an impact player on this team, which, because it's a deep wide receiver room. You know, Nabers is, I don't think he'll be back week one, but he's not going on the pup list. I think he will be back by week two, week three. You do have Malachi Fields. You do have Isaiah Likely. You do have Darnell Mooney. You do have Calvin Austin. You do have Theo Johnson. Yes, you still have Slayton. You still have Hyatt. You still have a couple of these stiffs, but the wide receiver room is quite deep. But there's room for Beckham to make an impact. And he's thrown things out there like he's compared himself to LeBron James, and then he always wanted to win a championship here. And I do think Beckham has something to prove. I think he's also humbled by this opportunity that the Giants are giving him. And it is cool to see him in a Giant uniform and everything to go full circle, but it'll be a lot cooler to see him score a touchdown against the Cowboys in week one. And each day that goes by, I talk myself more and more into Beckham having an impact for this team this year. And I'm certainly rooting for him. And I think even those that are OBJ detractors and were not too keen on bringing him back, those fans will be excited for him and the Giants if he comes out of the gates strong and he looks like he has turned the clock back. Maybe not all the way back, but to be a guy that could produce for this team. As far as Abdul Carter, especially with the departure of Dexter Lawrence, it's put up or shut up time with Carter. I thought he had an underwhelming rookie year. And I, for one, don't want to hear about, well, he had pressures and he was this close. He was drafted as high as he was to have sacks, to be an impact player, to disrupt the opposing offenses and just be a force. And he was none of those things in his rookie year. And you could say whatever you want, and you can come up with all the excuses in the world. Bottom line is, you now are being coached by John Harbaugh. The culture, everything has changed with this team. It's about winning. It's about winning right out of the gate. And it's about this defense, in particular the pass rush, finally realizing the potential that they have. They have enough talent. They've used enough top picks, including Arvell Reese, who I know is going to be more of a linebacker, but he's a pass rusher. But I think a lot of eyes are going to be on Abdul Carter to recognize and realize the promise that he had and the potential that he had coming out of Penn State. And that is to be one of the great pass rushers in the league, which he was anything but in his rookie season. So it is a big year for him, because if you have a bad year too, that's where the word bust starts to get thrown around. Now people think you can't play in the league. You're a bust. And that's the thing that Abdul Carter is going to have to fight against. And the way you fight against it is to have a very productive year on the field. And you certainly have the talent around you. I mean, look, I wanted Caleb Downs in the secondary, and I still think the Giants lack leadership and a playmaker in the secondary, and Downs is having a tremendous camp with the Cowboys, and there's no doubt in my mind he's going to be an awesome player. Then again, I can't argue with what the Giants did by taking Francis Maurinola. I understand taking an offensive lineman. You want to protect Jackson Dart. It's a hard hat, championship-winning move to take an offensive lineman in the top 10. So I can't argue against that pick as far as the selection the Giants made. But they still walked out of there without the impact player. Now, maybe Colton Hood could be that guy, but Caleb Downs, to me, is the generational, you know, impact guy that you could put in the secondary and be a leader back there and a guy that could help you stop the run. Because, look, somebody asked me this last week, and I'll run through them real fast here before we hand it off to the guys in the warm-up show. There are five things that can, or if you were to say, hey, five things that can derail the Giants season. Number one, the health of Jackson Dart. He can miss a game or two because Jameis Winston can fall out of bed and throw for 500 yards. But if Dart was to have a prolonged absence because of injury, that's one. Two, the Giants' inability to stop the run, which has been a problem for them for a very, 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 very long time. They couldn't stop the run even with Dexter Lawrence. They beefed up their middle, but we'll see if they could stop the run. If they can't, they're not winning games. Number three, if the pass rush, which has a ton of talent, including Abdul Carter, if they are not good, it could be very problematic because I don't think the secondary is anywhere near what it needs to be, and it would expose that secondary. Number four, and this one I would put in the, it's all likelihood not going to happen. This was more of a worry a couple weeks ago, and that is Malik Nabers having an extended period out. But it sounds like he's going to be back very soon, meaning him playing in a game. I think he'll be back like week two or three. So it's not, at one point I thought, oh boy, this guy's not going to be back to like week seven or eight. So I put it as more of a long shot. But I guess you never know. It could still be that. But in all likelihood, the fact that he wasn't on the pup list, it would be week two or three, maybe even week one. But I think the Giants will err on the side of caution. And the other one is somehow, some way, the offensive line taking a step back from what it was last year. Because how many times have we taken a phone call on this radio station? The Giants' offensive line is not very good. Last year, I don't think I got one phone call about it. You know why? Because the Giants' offensive line was good. It was good. And they used a top 10 pick on an offensive lineman going into this year. But if somehow, some way, this O-line, and usually it depends on the health of Andrew Thomas, if this offensive line is not good and they are not protecting Jackson Dart, in all likelihood, the number one issue that we have, which is Jackson Dart getting hurt, will happen. And then the Giants will not meet the lofty expectations, the giant expectations that I have and many others have. All right, that'll do it for me. My thanks to all the callers, all the listeners. My thanks to Fliegelman. We will talk to you. I have you only a few more hours from now. 7 o'clock here. A Big Lou Gowski 5-hour after hours coming your way at 7 p.m. Right now, it is the warm-up show with Al Dukes and Gordon Damer. That's coming your way next. And we will talk to you later on this evening at 7 o'clock right here on After Hours.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.